your own.
All right. Appreciate that. The other question that I usually get when I speak somewhere is, are you related to Bill Dance? But at First Baptist Dallas, that's probably not the first question. I want to know how many of you knew my Uncle Tom Dance or Carolyn Dance. Oh, wow. A bunch of you have. All right. That's my only uncle and my only aunt. And Robin and Perry grew up here, went to school here at First Baptist Academy. Those are my only cousins. So if you've ever met a Dance, I'm probably related. And the other question I usually get, are you related to Bill Dance? And even though I'm third cousin, someone will always say, are you really? You know, so again, as so far, I've not met a Dance I'm not related to, nor have I met a Dance that actually knew how to dance. So I grew up in Tyler, Texas. Was born here in Dallas. So were my parents and my grandparents. So I'm third generation, and I live in Frisco with my wife. Our kids are adults. They live in Tulsa and Waco. So, but I usually preach somewhere every week. Most of the time, it's to other preachers. So I did pastor churches for 27 years, and I also done a couple of interim pastors. But my ministry is to ministers, and I love that ministry. First with Lifeway, where I met Michael Deal. Michael and I were trustees together for about 8 years, became friends. And then I started Lifeway Pastors about 9 years ago. And at Guidestone, that's what I do. I help them to, you know, start well and finish well. And I did overlap with O.S. Hawkins for about 6 months before he entered into the emeritus stage. And the guy that took his spot as president, Hans Dilbeck, is the guy that hired me. So anyway, we're going to have some fun today in a very familiar passage. It's Psalm 23. If you want to look there, like you don't already know it, right? You know, we have it memorized because it's such a popular song. It's such a comforting song, and I hope it'll be of some comfort and encouragement to you today as well. And I'll be kind of reading from the Christian Standard Bible, but also dipping into King James, where we all probably learned it in the first place. Is that okay? It'll add some deeper meaning to the actual Hebrew words behind it. And you have some notes there if you want to follow along as well. Recently, before we moved to Frisco, Janet and I had this house that backed up to an urban farm. Do you know what an urban farm is? I didn't really know what an urban farm is other than it's surrounded by subdivisions and houses, but it's about 30 acres. Really is just to be honest, an urban farm means that there's people running it that don't know what they're doing. And so they had a couple of horses, a couple of ponies. And I grew up in Tyler, raised by a pack of golfers. I don't know anything about farming myself, but I was learning, taking notes. They had llamas, which are a bunch of divas. And the first time we fed a llama across the fence line, literally, we'd just gotten back from church. My wife had her church clothes, and the llama that she fed with a carrot spit the whole thing right back on her, just chewed it first and then spit it on her. And Janet laughed like an 8-year-old schoolgirl. It was hilarious. That's how awesome she is. And she's in our Sunday school class in Prosper right now. One of those ponies, a few summers ago, it was hot like it is today, and just waddled, actually, because this pony I nicknamed Eeyore, not because it was a donkey and not because it was even male, but it was my call, so don't judge me. So Eeyore, this well-fed pony, just waddles into this pond, and all of a sudden, the only thing you see is the very top of Eeyore's head, and the nose comes up, breathes, and then goes down, and then bubbles, you know. And I'm fascinated. I'm actually talking to a pastor at the time on the phone, and I'm distracted because I think Eeyore's about to die. And I thought, I'm going to have to save Eeyore. And I actually have one of those shepherd staffs that we'll get to at the end of the psalm. And I was going to take that staff, wade into the pond, and then lead it out. And I was so worried about Eeyore because this dipping down and up. And I thought, you know, there's no way Eeyore's going to make it out of this pond. And so I jumped the fence that had, you know, do not come over signs all over the place. And I went up to the owner's house, knocked on the door, and answering the door, I think probably was home alone, was this terrified-looking teenage girl who was home for the summer, I guess. And I said, I'm a neighbor. I'm just concerned that your pony may be drowning in the pond. And I told her the situation. And she said, okay, thank you. And then I jumped back over the fence and just watched. And Eeyore, after what seemed like eternity, eventually, and the horses, the llamas, and all of them were surrounding the pond like they were watching this. This was, you know, Eeyore's last stand. And so I was just about to do something, and Eeyore just easily walks right out of the pond like, you complete moron, I'm fine, you know, I know what I'm doing. And I thought at that moment, that right there is a great picture of pastoring or parenting or leading people, especially through the last 3 years of COVID season when we're constantly second-guessing ourselves about, should I do more? Oh, I did too much, right? I wasn't afraid enough, or I was too afraid. And then, you know, what should I do as a parent? What should I do as a grandparent? What should I do as a neighbor? And that's where the 23rd Psalm became kind of refreshed for me, because I've been shepherding shepherds for the last 8 years. And I'm trying to help them because they not only get second-guessed sometimes, they're second-guessing themselves at home and at work. But the fact is, we all have responsibility, and people that we're responsible for depend on us. And so I think we can take out of this psalm a few things that from really David's testimony that I think will be some encouragement to all of us. And the first is, he says, and this is the most powerful statement in the whole psalm, is the first sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, that's very personal, and everything's built on it. And he says, I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Father, thank you for the opportunity to teach this morning at this flagship church. I pray that each of my brothers and sisters would leave encouraged and equipped to lead our own families and ministries. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So as we look at this testimony, basically coming back to an old friend, he's saying, you know, the Lord, this former shepherd is saying the Lord is pastoring me, because shepherd and pastor mean the same thing. And he says, the Lord is pastoring me, the Lord is leading me as I'm leading others. It's in the present tense, which means he's not talking about the good old days when the Lord took care of me. He's talking about today. The Lord is in present tense. He is pastoring me. So this is as relevant for you and for me today as it ever has been. And the Lord's faithfulness is always worth, you know, the Bible tells us over and over, don't forget the Lord's faithfulness. But this is a prayer for today. Don't let it become so familiar that we skip past that. What is God doing today to shepherd you, to lead you? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my pastor. That's what David's saying. You have a great history of pastors here. And really, the only one I haven't met that has been alive in my lifetime is your current one. I've met all the other ones, and sometimes I'm speaking at events where they are. In fact, this is the only time I've been asked to speak at a Sunday school class in 36 years of ministry. But when Matthew McKellar asked me to do something, I'm just going to say yes. I've known him since I was a teenager. I didn't even pray about it. I just said yes. The Lord is pastoring me. Of all your pastors, and listen, don't be hard on yourself. It's impossible to not compare one pastor to another. You try not to, and we try not to compare with each other because it can lead to dark places. But the fact is, they all have different strengths, right? They have different unique personalities, as do their spouses. And you've had some really good ones, really, really good ones. And I'm not going to call favorites, but since I work at Guidestone, I'm going to say O.S. Hawkins, all right? Because, you know, every time I say Guidestone, I get a raise and an angel gets its wings. So y'all just hang on, all right? I'm going to work it in there as many times as I can. But as great as your pastors are, ultimately, the real hero of this church is Jesus. Amen? The real hero of First Baptist in any church is Jesus. And so allow him to lead you and to feed you and to pasture you. The Lord is pastoring me, David says. And he also says that he's providing for me. He is not just has, but he is providing for me. I shall not want is how we learned it. There's nothing I lack is how it's translated here in CSB. And it's not just one need or two needs, but really comprehensive. We can compartmentalize things with our Western thought really quickly, but it's comprehensive, our physical needs. What do you need today physically? Some of you have a scary doctor visit ahead of you this week, or you had one last week. And he's saying, he lets me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he's taking care of the physical needs, that's what shepherds do, of their sheep. He's finding green pastures for them to eat because they're hungry. And anytime God's taking care of our physical needs, it's a reminder that he's shepherding and pastoring us well. You know, I've been a Southern Baptist my whole life. My parents met at East Grand Baptist Church when they were 12 and 10. And my grandmother, Juanita Dance, taught the same Sunday school class for over 60 years. My grandfather was a deacon there. My father was a deacon there. Then we moved to Tyler in 1970, and they lived there for 50 years. And I've just seen the graciousness of the Lord. But we are sometimes reluctant as Baptists to ask God for stuff because we don't want to be connected to our charismatic cousins too much, right? They may overreach a little bit. They might, you know, sometimes even feel entitled. And we don't want to be that way. But just know that if a son asks for bread, is the Lord going to give him a snake? That's what Jesus said. Or a stone. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus said in Matthew 7. So if you need a provider today, if you need a healer today, I don't want you to be reluctant to ask. This is not an entitlement mentality. We're not making demands. We're making requests as a child does to his father, as a sheep does to a shepherd. We also have emotional needs. He leads me beside still waters or quiet waters. And so the sheep, I noticed they had four sheep in this little urban farm, and the sheep never got in the pond. They wouldn't even get close. Why? Because they had wool coats on, of course. You know, sheep aren't swimmers. And that's why the shepherds knew you don't put sheep in waters that are rushing, that are a threat to the sheep, because they have two completely different instincts going on at the same time. One is, if I don't drink, I'm going to die. And the other is, if I get into that water and get swept away, I'm going to die. And so a good shepherd leads them to still waters. And I don't know about you, but when COVID kicked in 3 years ago, nobody knew what to do. I guarantee, I can speak for pastors, we didn't know what to do. When I found out, it was March 12th, 2020, was the day that the government said, we are in pandemic. Remember March 12th? Remember what happened? All the hockey games were canceled, right? March Madness, NBA games, it was traumatic. We didn't know what to do. Pastors, I was meeting with a bunch of pastors. I'll never forget it. I was in Wewoka, Oklahoma. Anybody know where Wewoka, Oklahoma is? I didn't. All right, three of you. That's awesome. It's like nowhere. It's like in the middle of nowhere. And it's an hour and a half from Tulsa, where we lived at the time. And I just remember these pastors coming together, and I was going to speak to them and all this. And they sang happy birthday to me because March 12th was my birthday. So happy birthday. You get a pandemic, you know. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm there to help pastors, right? To help pastors. And it's like, hey, we're going to have to really acknowledge that we have the great shepherd, the good shepherd knows what to do. We don't know exactly what to do. All we know is that is what we were told, go home for 2 weeks and it'll all be done. Right? You remember that? Just give it a couple of weeks, everybody stay at home, and then everything will be fine. So obviously nobody else knew what to do either. But I remember I had one thought. On the way home, I better get as much toilet paper and Pop-Tarts as I can, all right? Because I don't know what a pandemic is, but I want to be ready for it. And then right outside my subdivision, they have this thing in Oklahoma. You can ask your speaker today, James Lunsford, called Brahms. Brahms are amazing. There was one right outside. You could not leave our subdivision without going past Brahms. And they have the most amazing ice cream, and they brought the price down during the pandemic to help people with comfort food. And in about 4 pounds later, I told my wife, I said, I've got a problem. I am dealing emotionally with this pandemic at Brahms. And you know, we laugh at that because it is funny, but the fact is a lot of people deal with trauma and emergencies and stress by overeating, chemical addictions, alcohol, drugs, sexual addictions, binge watching. I mean, the list goes on and on of how we can feel better for a short amount of time, right? But the Lord's saying through David, I've got what you need. I'm not only going to give you your physical needs, the green grass, but I'm going to give you still waters for your emotional needs. And some of you may be just fine physically, but mentally, you're struggling. You're having trouble sleeping. You're having trouble putting your thoughts together. And I want you to know that the shepherd, your pastor, loves you, and he wants to help you through that difficult time. At Guidestone, oh, another angel guy's wings. Guidestone, in the last 3 years, since the pandemic started, in the last 3 years, mental health claims have gone up 40%. That's a lot. When believers live in a constant state of fear or anxiety, it not only robs us of our joy, but it also puts a dent in our testimony, doesn't it? When something happens on a national or state level or even here in Dallas and we're wringing our hands and we're getting all worried about things, what does that say to the unbelievers about our faith? Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, because the Lord's providing for our physical and mental needs, but also for our spiritual needs, of course. He renews my life. He restores my soul. You came today. You made this happen. You showed up to get your soul restored and renewed. And I hope to play a small part in that. David is telling this testimony, but we all know the rest of the story, that he lost his way, not just with Bathsheba, but later on he made even more and worse mistakes later in his life. We can't hope. I used to think I could age out of some of the temptations I had as a young person. And then I'd see somebody else disqualify themselves from ministry later on in life, right there at the finish line. And I think at David too. When he lost his way, God shepherded him back. He took that rod and that staff, and he shepherded him back. And he broke just about all the commandments during his lifetime and even tried to cover it up. But he also knew that even though he was unfaithful, God was always faithful. So I'm not dragging you into a guilt zone here. This is a grace zone. First Baptist is a grace zone. This class is a grace zone. Because you may be thinking right now, man, if you knew, if the people at this table knew how I've blown it, they wouldn't even talk to me. I wouldn't even be welcome here. Some of you have a rap sheet that nobody knows about. But don't confuse your unfaithfulness with God's unfaithfulness. And know that God will restore your soul if you genuinely come to Him with a heart of repentance. Because just on the other side of that repentance is restoration. But you've got to come clean with Him. You've got to come clean with Him. And He's saying, come back to me. I want to restore the joy of your salvation. And so if you're a sheep that goes astray, or you today, there's people that you wish were at the table that no longer are in church, maybe even walked away from the Lord. One out of four church members on the average did not return back to their church after COVID restrictions were lifted. Wandering sheep are vulnerable and in danger. It might be that God's leading you to help Him in His shepherding ministry. If there's somebody you hadn't seen in a while, give them a call. Ask them how they're doing. Right? Not in a guilty way, like, you know, where you been, but just how are you doing? That's all you have to do. And just listen. Be a part of restoring their soul. So the Lord's, he is pastoring me, he says. And then the last two, much quicker, he says, he's protecting me. He's not only pastoring me, he's protecting me. In verse 4, even though I go through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil or no danger. That's the same word. It's a literal spot. It's Death Valley is what it is. The context is the Good Samaritan parable is there. It's a pinch point for predators. He says, even though if I go through the Death Valley or this dark valley, I won't fear evil. I won't fear danger. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So let's break that down. First of all, we don't have to be intimidated by death, right? Isn't that awesome? That death is not a threat to the Christian. Tom went to be with the Lord 4 years ago, and my dad, Ken Dance, 2 years ago. And I did Tom's funeral online because no one could go into the funeral home at that time, and because everything was online during that time. But one thing that was absent from both my father's funeral and my uncle's funeral was fear. No fear. The shadow of death does not threaten us. And you might be going through a dark, dangerous valley right now and just needed a reminder not to fear evil, not to fear danger. 330 times fear is brought up in the Bible. And death has been swallowed up in victory. Death. Where is your sting? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15. And my pastor growing up in Green Acres in Tyler was Paul Powell. He preceded O.S. Hawkins at Guidestone, as a matter of fact. And he said about this passage, he said, the difference between the child of God and others is not the absence of shadows, it's the presence of the shepherd. Isn't that good? The presence of shepherd. So it's not like we don't have these same mental, physical, emotional problems that anybody else, or that we're not going to die like everybody else. We just don't have to do it alone, and we don't have to be afraid because He's protecting us, and He's already defeated death. We don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of evil. I will fear no danger, no evil. That little word, Hebrew word, ra, is a generic word, just describes bad things, which is like every newscast I've watched in the last 10 years, right? It's like, let's start with the bad things, the really the worst things. It's kind of depressing to watch the news, you know? It's just more and more raw in there. And so what concerns you may concern the person next to you less. Crime may be your biggest. Terrorism, politics, the economy. Romans 12:21 says, don't be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Again, you know, believers, I mean, we don't have to panic. We don't have to fear what unbelievers fear. Not because we don't feel the effects of it. And there's healthy fear, right? But if we panic when there's a pandemic, you know, one of the worst stats I've heard over the last 30, 35 years, I've heard this my entire ministry. You may have heard it. 1,500 pastors are leaving the ministry every month. I've read about it. And it's in almost every pastoral ministry book. Those crazy stats have never been true. We did a deep dive on them when I was at Lifeway, and it's 1.5%, and for different reasons. Fact is, me and O.S. Hawkins would be part of that 1.5% because they count those who leave the pastoral ministry to go to a different ministry would be like leaving the ministry. And so here's the deal, is that pastors aren't quitting in droves. They never have. They never run away when problems come in. There's always been pastors that disqualify themselves or quit or don't finish, and we try to help, you know, every minister finish well. But the fact is, believers, all of us, pastors, non-pastors, It's the Holy Spirit of God that makes us resilient. It's not because we're awesome, right? It's not because we're a cut above. It's because the Holy Spirit lives within us. And he says, for all my sheep, my rod and my staff, I'm going to comfort you with them. And the rods that I actually used to have one of these. I was a summer missionary in Kenya and got one of these little 2-3 foot rods, he's basically a stick and with a big knot on the end of it, and to protect yourself, it's kind of like a rule or a scepter, except to protect yourself. So shepherds usually had that to fight off different predators. And then the others, the staff. The staff's that hook. You can get them at any farmer's supply for $25. You can just go in there, I know, shepherd staff, and they've got them in there. They still use those things. And so I have one almost used on ER, but I haven't used it in any other way other than it decorates my office. Somebody gave it to me. But it is that hook on there that nudges the sheep back, right? That brings them gently back when they come away. So if you call someone today, if you send them a handwritten letter or a text, and you're saying, we missed you in our class, are you doing okay? That's you shepherding, that's you nudging, not nagging. Amen? And hadn't we all been there when we kind of like in season, out of season, had some tough times spiritually and somebody just felt led to encourage us? That's God shepherding through other people. And there's way too many people for the professional shepherds to do it all. And so you guys have done that for years, and that's why this class is so big. It's because it's healthy. You've figured a way to comfort each other. One of the preachers I got to hear before he died, he was actually at First Baptist Tyler, was Vance Havner. Vance Havner, having lost his wife of 36 years, he said, I'm still in the valley. He's talking about grief. But thank God I'm walking through it, not wallowing in it. There is one preacher who knew what to do on March 12th, 2020. His name's Jack Eccles. Most likely hadn't heard of Jack. Jack made the news cycle, and because his son-in-law saw where the Wall Street Journal was looking for heroic COVID stories. And so he sent in a note, he sent an email to the Wall Street Journal It told what Jack Eccles did on March 12th, 2020. While I was buying Pop-Tarts and toilet paper, Jack had been at the nursing home in North Carolina feeding his wife, Jerry, every meal, every day, for 2 years. She was in advanced stages of Alzheimer's. They'd been married for 70 years. He had two doctorates, a Baptist pastor, retired, 90 years of age. And they told him what they told my aunt. I'm sorry, but you can't come back into the nursing home because of COVID. So Jack, a retired pastor, a retired shepherd, was not confused or intimidated by death or by decrees, but he respected the rules, and so he went home and he packed a bag. He got his computer, he got his personal items, and he rented a room in that nursing home. For the next 2 years, he couldn't leave. He said it felt like a prison. The thing is, I didn't know the rest of the story about Jack. I put him up on the screen. I don't have his picture here today. As an example of what a real shepherd does, what a real pastor does, and how to finish well. And for 3 years, I've been using Jack Eccles' story around the country. And about 2 months ago, it was actually in March, around the third anniversary of COVID, I was sharing this in Irving, Texas, at the evangelism conference, at the Irving Convention Center. And after I spoke, a guy came up, pastor of First Baptist Murphy, and he said, "I know where Jack Eccles is." Because I hadn't heard in 3 years where he went. I just read the story, and I've been looking online back in. There's no trace of him. It's like, boom, he was heroic. That was a story, moved on. He said, "Jack Eccles is in my church. He's there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. And when he can't make it, he watches online. And he's 96 years old." He was actually, I said 90, he was 93 when COVID started, and he moved into the nursing home. And he lived there for another 2 years until she died. And then he moved to Murphy, Texas, north of Garland, to live with one of his other daughters and her son-in-law. And I said, "Can I go meet him?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll set it up." So I go over there, just awestruck. I found out when I left, no one had even contacted him or visited him in over a year. People had forgotten all about Jack Eccles. But Jack's still going strong. He can't hear worth a hoot, but he's got a great sense of humor, and he encouraged me, and I shot some videos where he can encourage pastors while I was there, and I'm going to be preaching there in a couple of weeks at First Baptist Murphy. But if you want to know how to practice the 23rd Psalm, look to people like Jack Eccles, who don't panic when there's a problem, who have probably seen most problems, challenges that you could ever have, and seen the Lord work, and trust Him enough to where not only does He feel like He's shepherded well, but He's going to shepherd His family well. And then by shepherding His family well, He's going to show other people like me how to shepherd our families and our ministries well. And it all comes from that one relationship that we have with the Good Shepherd and trusting Him. And when we trust Him and we're shepherded well, we can be a good shepherd to other people. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He pastoring you today? Is He protecting you today? Is He providing for you today? Because if not, it's not because He doesn't want to or that He's not able, but mostly because we haven't asked Him. So let's do that right now. Would you bow with me? If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, whether it's been a week or a decade or several decades ago, would you right now just thank him for being your pastor shepherd? Just thank him for your salvation. And would you take a moment just to be honest with him? He already knows your needs, of course, but would you just say, I want to lay down some of my biggest physical or spiritual or emotional needs right now. Just lay them at the shepherd's feet. I'm going to trust you to provide for me. And finally, let's lay our insecurities at his feet. Let's let the good shepherd protect us from evil, from death, from fear. Any insecurity, speak it to him. If you've never asked Jesus to be your shepherd, would you please consider accepting that gift that Jesus paid for on the cross? His death and resurrection made it possible for all who call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And there are people in this room at your table, I'll be hanging out, that would love to help you with that first step of faith. If you've never received Jesus, asked him to be your shepherd, the Bible says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So ask him. Father, thank you for being our shepherd, our pastor, our protector, and our provider. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for letting me come.